If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. So now what we're going to speak about is hearing God's voice. We're going to talk about all the different aspects of hearing God's voice. First, we'll lay down a few parameters or a few ground rules. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. Now, as far as I can see, there are three different aspects to thought. There's your thoughts, there's the enemy's thoughts, and there's the thoughts of God through the Holy Spirit. So there's your thoughts, there's God's thoughts, and there's the enemy's thoughts. And the enemy tries to influence you through the flesh and through your natural mind. So you hear negative thoughts, negative things. Feel negative things. You feel certain parts of the appetites of the flesh that are not edifying. Maybe you might see a girl and you might get very turned on looking at her, but that's not right. Okay, that's not from God. And you might want to get in the car and drive at twice the speed limit, but that's not of God. That's of the flesh, the desire and the joy of going fast and the excitement. So the flesh has its influence through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now you can go to the Bible and study that out yourself. And then the Spirit, there's the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We know about those aspects. So if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So how do you walk in the Spirit? Well, you need to be influenced by the Spirit. So how are you influenced? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So there's no condemnation. That means no judgment of you've done the wrong thing to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So that's a statement in Romans chapter 8 verse 1. The next statement clarifies it a bit more. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there's a law. There's a law that's being put in our soul. A law is a way of doing things. And that way of doing things is through the Holy Spirit. So the law of the Spirit of life. So the law of the Spirit brings life and it frees you from the law of sin and death. So what's the law of sin and death? Walking in the flesh, being led by the flesh, being led by your own natural mind. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will make you free from the law of sin and death. So how do you make the law of the Spirit of life work? Well, the Bible says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being led by the Holy Spirit, right? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will wash over your heart the love of the Father. The Holy Spirit transforms your life. So how do you do that? Well, praying, the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That means builds up himself. That word edify, it's talking about building a building, or constructing a building. And that building is a place that God lives in. He lives in you and he's renovating your life. He's renovating your thoughts. He's renovating your actions through the Holy Spirit. So when you pray in tongues, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. So how do you walk in the flesh? Don't build yourself up in the spirit. Let your spiritual life dry up. Let your spiritual life wind down, and then you will start walking in the flesh. Your thoughts will come from the enemy, and they'll come from the flesh, which is in cahoots or in accord with the enemy. So the Bible talks about the flesh. Flesh and blood won't enter into the kingdom of God. That is the sinful nature of ourself. It comes through the flesh. So the flesh has some form of thought, or some form of it. The flesh actually schemes and contrives against you. The flesh does not want to follow God. The flesh is the fallen part of our nature, and the enemy has influence through the flesh. And we're to keep our flesh under subjection. And some of the ways we can keep our flesh under subjection is by praying in the Holy Spirit, is by fasting, and by doing what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, being led of the Holy Spirit. And the way we can be led by the Holy Spirit is to make sure we're full of the Holy Spirit. It's full of God, full of the presence of God. If we're not full of the presence of God, we're quite possibly full of the influence of the enemy, of the flesh. So if we fast, we put the flesh down and we say to the flesh, no, I'm going to listen to God and I'm going to be led by the Spirit. So who you choose to be led by defines your existence in this world. Now, we're made up of three different aspects. We're made up of the flesh, our body, right, with the soul and the spirit. Okay, so we have the flesh, the soul, and the spirit. Now, through the flesh, as I said before, through the appetites of the flesh, we have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So pride has its outward working through the flesh, puffed up, fleshy pride. Lust of the flesh is fleshy things that consume our life, maybe smoking and drinking, all these other things, maybe pleasures that are not acceptable to us, like, I don't know, taking drugs, excessive things that are not going to benefit our life. And there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking, there's nothing wrong with sleeping, and there's nothing wrong with relaxing, there's nothing wrong with exercise. But if we're being dominated by the flesh, we always fall into excess, okay? We always overdo it. As the lust of the eyes, we see things and we want them. We desire them because we think they're going to make our life better. They're going to cause us to be happy. And the flesh wants these things, like a little child who wants toys, right? You can't just give them all the toys they want. You'll spoil them. So you need to give them toys that are going to benefit them. And, you know, the same with the flesh. The flesh wants everything. The lust of the eyes, or the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Then there's our soul. So our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. So we have our mind, and our mind is the functionality of our brain. Some people's brains or IQs are much more higher than others. That means they function better, they function more efficiently, right? Our mind, our will, and our will is what we decide to do based on the information that we have in our life. So we're supposed to make good choices based on the context of our life. So our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, our emotions drive us, and they cause us to be sad or happy. That's the emotional state, and that comes through our soul. Our mind, which is the function of our brain. Our will, we decide to do this or do that. We decide to fulfill the lusts of the flesh or walk in the spirit. We decide. That's our will, right? And our emotions. Now, our emotions can dominate our will. Our emotions can interface with who we are and cause us to do things that are not beneficial to us. Then there's the spirit. And the spirit is made up of inspiration, creativity, and revelation. So the spiritual side of us is made up of inspiration, revelation, and creativity. So inspiration, we are inspired from a spiritual perspective. Inspiration doesn't come from the flesh. It comes from the spirit. Now, the flesh can be motivated by darkness, which is a spiritual component, okay, and it comes through the flesh, and we're inspired that way, but it's still the platform, or no, the root of that comes from darkness, comes from the enemy, comes from the devils, from Satan, from evil spirits, different types of spirits. There's spirits of lust, which are usually the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about foul spirits and spirits of infirmity. They actually to do with our body. They cause things not to be healed continually, to stay broken, and they get worse and worse. They're spirits of infirmity, right? And there's foul spirits, as I spoke about, confusing spirits. All of these different. There's many, many different types of spiritual activity, and you'll see it all in the Bible. But in our spirit, our spiritual side, whether we're spirit-filled or not, we still have these three components. We still have the flesh, our soul, and our spirit. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're influenced by the Spirit of God. And that spirit infuses with our spirit and becomes one. Now, we have creativity, inspiration, and revelation. So creativity comes from the spirit. Whenever we paint or create something, we are using our spiritual part. When we're inspired, we're using our spiritual part of who we are, right? Revelation, which is a revealing of things, comes from the spiritual part of who we are. So if we understand where all these different things come from, then we can get a bit of a handle on what's happening. So our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotion, is being influenced by the flesh or by our spirit. And our soul is the culmination or the end result of all of our decision making, all of our what we believe, our belief system. And as we actually believe things, as we ponder on things, either through the flesh or through the spirit, they become part of us and they move into a place called the heart. Now, the heart of man is a place where after we've decided this is right and this is wrong and we truly believe it, creates our belief system, our true belief system. So we can sit down and we can hear somebody speak about a certain aspect of life, and until it actually enters into our heart and becomes a part of us, it's always an outside influence. So people can continually influence you through their ideas and through their philosophies and whatever else, and until you've pondered on those things with your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you decide this is true, then it goes into your heart and becomes a belief system, and it can't be dislodged. It's who you truly are. And whether you've built, it becomes a stronghold, a system of thought that can't be shaken, because it's who you truly believe you are and the world is. It's how you frame your whole concept of life. Okay, so when it gets to your mind, when you hear bad thoughts come into your mind, or you dwell on these bad thoughts, or you dwell on these good thoughts, right? They're really just thoughts. Until you start taking an interest in them and thinking about them, pondering on them, then they seem to transform themselves into a belief system, and that goes into your heart. So the Bible says we're to guard our heart, and the Bible says that it is good that the heart be established with grace. We need to guard our heart. You know, if you tell somebody cigarettes are going to kill you, are going to give you cancer, they know it. they've seen all the videos and all the propaganda and all the stuff and everything. They know that cigarettes are not good for you, but they've decided to keep smoking because it's what they want to do. It's part of their belief system. And doctor comes to them and says, you're going to die in 6 months if you don't stop smoking. But our belief system says, I want the joy of cigarettes more than I want life. Even though your true understanding knows that this is going to kill you, you still go ahead with it because it's what's in your heart. So if you want to change somebody's heart, which is their true belief system, if you do that, if you change someone's heart, then they will have a complete change. If you try to change their mind, then you may be able to talk them out of or inspire them with some thoughts and ideas, but it's not a permanent thing. Once they've gotten out of the influence of you, then they go back to their heart beliefs. So the idea is to transform their heart, is to actually transform their heart with godly ideas and godly belief. So the Bible says that the goodness of God draws men unto repentance. So the goodness of God makes people think, you're good, you're nice to me, I can trust you, and I'm going to follow you. Repentance. I'm going to change my way of thinking and I'm going to follow you. Right? So it also says that the love of God is shed abroad, or that shed abroad means poured out massively. So the love of God is shed abroad, poured out massively on our heart by the Holy Spirit. So the love of God transforms us as well. And by praying in tongues, mysteries are given to you and they are placed in your heart. And they become God thoughts and God ideas, and they become God beliefs. If you listen to the flesh, right, and you get disappointed in God because somebody who wasn't really representing God, maybe they were praying for you and you never got healed, then a thought might come to you and say, God doesn't really care about you. He doesn't care, or he's useless, or what sort of God is this, or there's something wrong with you, or whatever. And that becomes your belief system after you've heard about it and meditated on it so long that it becomes your belief system. If you meditate on something long enough, it will eventually become your belief system. So the Bible says we're to set our thoughts above, our affections above and not below. We're to fill our mind with the things of God and the promises of God, the goodness of God, and the belief system of who God is. And we don't have to make it up. It's in the Bible. Matter of fact, if we read the Bible and we read it in its full context, we see God opposes evil people and he blesses those who love him or want to follow him. And he pours out his love and his grace and his mercy. These are all just words until they actually happen in your life. So you have to have a vision of God or an understanding of who God is. Is he mean and nasty? And if you just move one inch out of line, he'll slap you down? Or is he gentle, kind, long-suffering? Well, we need to understand the attributes of God. He is sovereign. We need to understand what sovereignty means. He has no shadow of turning. That means he's not like a person who has a different personality every day. He is consistent in his belief system and the way he portrays himself. And he continually always tells you that, look, there's the goodness of God and there's the severity of God. A lot of people will preach just the goodness of God, and sometimes people will only preach the severity of God. They'll say God is an angry God. He wants to smite down every single sinner, and they'll go down that road, and they'll try and put you into a fear thing, right? Then there's the other mob who will say, God is wonderful and lovely and fluffy, and he wouldn't hurt a little lamb or nothing. He just so long-suffering, and he just turns a blind eye. They're going down another road, and those are extreme, both extreme. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. So we need to understand God. Now, we only received our Bible in large amounts the printing press only started around about the 15th century. So we had oodles of Bibles given to us, printed millions and millions and millions of Bibles. But before the 15th century, people had to write them out. Bibles weren't easily obtained. Okay, you might have had a few manuscripts, you might have had a pile of them, but you know, you personally wouldn't have owned them. Someone else would have owned them, and to get access to them would have been a bit difficult. Maybe the church had a few manuscripts and they preached from that, right? Maybe they had a whole Bible, but that would have cost oodles amount of money because somebody had to scribe it out, letter by letter, word by word. So what did we have before the 15th century? Were we behind the eight ball? No, we had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually inspired man to write the Bible. So the Holy Spirit moved on man, inspired him, and he wrote down the words, inspired words of God, and they became the Bible. So we look at what's the principal thing. Well, the principal thing is not the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit inspired man to write this secondary thing called the Bible. But the Bible lines up with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So these two things can cause us to have a witness. We read in the Bible, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit, the things of God. And then we have the Holy Spirit, which directly leads us in the things of God. And the two agree. Okay, so I'm not telling you to abandon your Bible. I'm telling you, use it as another tool. Okay, it's a tool that to look through and say, what does God want? You know, in the Old Testament, they looked through the Old Testament and said, what does God want us to do? But that, even the Old Testament was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the New Testament was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the principal thing is the Holy Spirit. So what's the principal thing above the Holy Spirit? Jesus. And then there's the Father. Okay? So the Father gave Jesus all authority. He gave everything to Jesus and said, there's everything in heaven and on earth. So all of the earth and all of heaven, he gave Jesus dominion over all of that. And he said, go and fix it all up. Go and create this thing. And then when Jesus has created this perfect thing, inspired by the Father, he's going to hand it back to the Father. And that's when we read in Revelations, the new Jerusalem will come down from heaven. And there'll be, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. So Jesus, his job is to gather all the saints or all the people that the Father has allocated to him, right? And he's to secure them, and he's also to protect them. He's also to go and wage war against darkness and to bring in everlasting righteousness, or the best practices. That's what righteousness is. So let's get back to the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says, the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. So how do you enact the law of the Spirit of life? In Christ Jesus, which will make you free from the law of sin and death. Well, one of the major platforms that God gave us was the Holy Spirit, and the tool the Holy Spirit brought with him was speaking in tongues. So speaking in tongues, right, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, Jude, when he wrote his letter, he said, I wanted to remind you of the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then he spoke just before that about the common salvation. There's only one salvation. Then he talked about the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And he was saying that he wanted to remind them to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So he's speaking to all Christians scattered around, and he's saying, I want you not to forget how we started and the platform that we used to start the church with, and not to forsake that platform, because that platform is never going to be changed until Jesus comes back. So that platform is just as viable as it is, as it was in the first century, as it is in where we are now, in 2018. So that platform is just as powerful. It was ordained by God. So he said to everybody, I want you to contend, earnestly contend. That means with gusto, with earnestly, with great vigor, contend, like a boxer would contend when he exercises, or a person is going to the Olympics. They're contending so that they can receive a medal, right? They're not sitting down on a lounge just relaxing all day. They're exercising, building themselves up so that they can be strong, so that it can achieve their purposes. So he said, I want to remind you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith which was delivered unto the saints was delivered unto the saints in the book of Acts. When suddenly it came a rushing mighty wind, filled the whole house where they were standing, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. And then Peter stands up and says, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about, that I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. And then they said, and he spoke about Jesus being hung up on the cross, and they said, what do we do? And he said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the washing away of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was what he said. That was the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, the Holy Spirit. So Jude speaks about that in the first couple of verses of Jude, and then he switches and says, but. And then he goes on and speaks right up till about 18 and 19. He speaks about all of those who have fallen away, who've led people astray, who've fallen angels, who were chained in darkness unto the day of judgment. And he speaks about all of those who are clouds without water. They look good. They speak great words of deliverance and what God can do for you, but they don't deliver. So they're just full of words. So they're full of words and no power, no dunamis power, no dynamite power to destroy the darkness or sickness in your life. They just speak lots and lots of words. And he speaks about people who are backslidden and who are backbiters and who are they run in the way of Cain, right, who slew Abel. So they don't have positive attributes. But then he says, in 19, he says, but you, beloved. So he switches again back to the same theme that he spoke about in the first couple of verses. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. So how are you earnestly contending for the love, for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints? By building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and it will keep you in the love of God. So how do you hear God's voice? Well, you hear negative things in your head. You don't so much hear them, but you think them. And where do they come from? Well, they come from the enemy, or they come from the distorted part of your soul, of your mind. So your mind is full of distorted thoughts and ideas which come from the enemy, and they're still rattling around in your head, and sometimes they rattle around for a long, long, long time, and they become part of your thought system, and then they enter into your heart, which is a permanent place, and that defines who you truly are. That becomes your true belief system. So those negative thoughts don't come from God, they come from the enemy. Now, you don't hear voices in your head like an audible voice. If you did, well, I've only heard that a couple of times in my whole life, my walk in the Lord. I've heard the Lord speak audibly to me in my head. But it's usually, it comes in the form of thoughts. And those thoughts, you know, all thoughts originate from outside of us. We think all thoughts originate from us. No, they originate from outside of us, from darkness or from light. They originate from demons or angels. The Bible talks about angels ministering to us. They speak to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. You might say angels don't speak to you. Well, it's true. If you read in Acts, Philip was told by an angel to go down to this road, and then the Holy Spirit told him to attach himself to the chariot. So an angel spoke. An angel spoke to Paul. You know, an angel spoke to Peter. He said, put your shoes on, right? You know, whether he looked, he was standing there, or he just got a thought, whatever. Sometimes they might manifest, not very often. A lot of times it's through your mind they'll speak. So a fallen angel or a dark angel or a demon will speak to you. He'll try to influence you. And you have to either be led by darkness or by the Holy Spirit. And you have to choose that. So how do you, you know, people say, I don't hear God. I can't hear God. Well, they're probably expecting God to, you know, beam down from heaven and go, Fred, go over here. Well, that's not going to work. That will hurt. That does happen, but that's not the normal course of events. The way it works is you get a thought and you have your senses exercised by reason of use, okay? So that you may be able to discern right and wrong, good and evil, truth and lies, okay? Sometimes people say, oh, God told me to go and do this. And we say, well, that's not really very sensible, is it? It didn't bring any fruit. It wasn't God, was it? And I'll go, no, I don't think so. We say, well, you need to pray a bit more. Get yourself spiritually in tune so that the Spirit of truth will lead you and guide you into all truth and not the flesh, not the darkness, not being influenced by darkness. So the more you pray, the more you bring yourself into line with the kingdom of God, and the more influence the Holy Spirit has in your life, and the more opportunity you have to make a decision to follow the Holy Spirit, walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. You make the decision. You ultimately make the decision. But you have to have input first. You can't make a correct decision unless you've got information. And if you think you're only being led by the flesh, then you've got problems, because you are being led by the Spirit. It's just you chose not to listen, because the flesh is strongly influencing your life. So what do? If you fast, you put the flesh down. If you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit starts magnifying Jesus in your life. He starts giving you the mind of Christ. You start making decisions according to the Spirit. And you start making godly decisions. Wisdom comes to you. You start making wise decisions. Right? But in the end, you always have to choose, and you have to discern between false information from darkness and true information from the Lord. Discerning of spirits is one of the gifts. Ask the Holy Spirit, give me discernment so that I may know which way. The Bible said, Jesus said, pray in this manner. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How do you do that? Well, you need discernment. The Bible talks about it being a light unto your feet. The Holy Spirit illuminates your understanding. So the process of hearing God's voice is very simple. You hear negative thoughts, okay? You hear condemning thoughts. You hear evil thoughts. You have evil imaginations. So what about godly imaginations and godly thoughts? What about godly inspiration? So if you pray in tongues, you will be able to separate them more effectively. So if you don't pray in tongues, you don't pray in the Spirit, if you're not building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, right, then you'll be led astray. If you don't read your Bible and look and search what God wants you to do, and the Holy Spirit will confer or come into agreement with the Word of God, the enemy will come into disagreement with the Word of God. Has God really said that? Will you really be healed? And he will always put negativeness onto you. He'll always tell you, he always try to take away your confidence in God. But the Holy Spirit, when you pray, will bring confidence in God. So the Holy Spirit has been sent to guide you and lead you unto all truth. And what is all truth? The love of the Father and who Jesus is. He will speak not of himself, but who Jesus is. And Jesus is the express image of the Father. That's something for you to ponder over. And if you listen to this talk many, many times and meditate on what I've got to say to you, then and start praying in tongues, even for 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, half an hour a day, then you will find your life will start to move forward into the things of God. But you must make a concerted effort. It's about you walking with God. You can't just sit down and just let it all happen. God wants you to participate, and without your participation, you get nowhere. You'll get a little place because God, you've got the Holy Spirit and you're baptized, right? But if you want to be more than an overcomer, if you want to be successful in the kingdom of God, you need to participate in spiritual activities. And one of the participations is speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith. For when you speak in an unknown tongue, right, it's your spirit that prays. For he that speaks an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Those mysteries are going into you. God doesn't need to know the mysteries. They're coming into you. And God is ministering to you. And the Spirit is being fed the things of God and downloading those things into your soul. And you're thinking and pondering over positive God thoughts, not negative demon thoughts. And you're framing your life, your existence, by the power of God, by the influence of God. You know, on the spiritual aspect, it's inspiration, creativity, and revelation. You get inspired to do godly things. You get revelation from God on which way to go and how things actually work. And you know, so inspiration, creativity, and revelation come from the Holy Spirit. They come from the spiritual side. They come from darkness. You can create negative things. You can be inspired by negative things. You can have revelation of negative things. But you want to be inspired. You want to have creativity. And you want to have revelation from the Holy Spirit. And if you pray in tongues, you're sowing to the Spirit. It's very simple. Very simple equation. God made it so easy. Get baptized, get filled with the Holy Spirit, sow to the Spirit, pray in tongues, and let the Holy Spirit frame your existence, frame your understanding, frame who you are, and all of those things will go into your heart, and they'll become who you truly are. No one will be able to take them away from you. You don't want tares being sown into your heart. Now, tares look like wheat, but when they grow the head, when they start to grow the wheat part, the seed, they're different. So they have a different fruit. They look exactly the same until they fruit. And they bring dizziness. If you crush them in with wheat, you get dizzy. So God gave tares that attribute so he could use that as a parable. So Jesus speaks this parable of the tares and the wheat. So you need to sow wheat into your heart. The good grain of the Word of God. Okay? Do you know what I do is I put my hand on my heart and I speak unto my heart and I say, in the name of Jesus, I come against every false doctrine and idea, every doctrine of devil, every lie and deceit that's been sown into my heart when I haven't been looking, when I haven't been attendant to the Word or to the things of the Holy Spirit. I command every single deceit, every seed of deceit to shrivel up and die in the name of Jesus. I speak death unto those seeds and I command them to shrivel up from the root in the mighty name of Jesus. I cover my heart in the blood of Jesus. I wash away all of the brokenness, all of the misuse, and I command restoration over my heart through the Holy Spirit. I speak unto the words of God, grow, grow, and grow into a great tree, bear many fruit, much fruit of the kingdom of God. And I do that often. and it keeps all the junky stuff out of my heart. Okay? I do the same thing over my head. I command all of the toxic thoughts that have been trying to get into my head to shrivel up and die. And I command only all the neurons that are of God to fire and create and build networks, neuron networks. The Bible says, take no thought what we shall do. And there's many parts in the Bible that says, take no thought. A thought is a neuron. You think on a thought and then it starts, and you meditate on it, meditate, and it builds a neural network of thoughts which create understanding. So I meditate on the Word of God and meditate through the Holy Spirit, and I build neural thoughts of God. Now, when I start having negative thoughts, then I just rebuke them and command them to shrivel up and go. And they do. They stop growing. Okay, you might have a song in your head that was negative song. You know, I'm on the highway to hell or whatever. I didn't think about these things much, but if you've got something that's really, really grossly negative and you keep thinking about it and singing it in your head, it's going to build a network. It's going to build distorted thoughts and ideas. You may not think that, but it will in the end do that. So the Bible says we're to have our thoughts on the things of God, build neural networks on the things of God. Okay, so we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to help us out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of the page and click on support.